In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Do you remember this beautiful little song? It goes like this. We say yes, yes, yes. We say yes, yes, yes. We say yes, O Lord. We say yes, O Lord. We say yes, yes, yes. That beautiful little song that we used to sing in the 80s. It's such a beautiful song, and it says everything. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Incarnation. 9 months from today will be the birth of the Lord. This is the day the Church celebrates the feast that the Word became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and dwells among us. And you know what it says in John's Gospel? And we have seen His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen His glory, you see. For the glory of God, the Kabod Yahweh, only belongs to God. We have seen His glory. Today in Nazareth, 2,000 years ago, the Virgin Mary was greeted by an angel. The angel Gabriel was sent to a virgin of the house of David, and the angel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." She wondered about this greeting. What kind of greeting is this? And the angel said, "You shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, because she was perplexed, "How can this be? For I am a virgin." And the angel gives the secret. "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore, the one to be born will be called Holy, Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived, and she will bear a son. For nothing is impossible with God." And then Mary spoke the words that brought our salvation to the earth. "Let it be done unto me according to your word." St. John says it this way, "And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us." That's an interesting thing, because it's more than dwelt among us. He pitched his tent among us. What does that mean? That in the Hebrew Scriptures, the tent was the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, the place where God met man through the sacrifice. The Word became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and He pitched His tent among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Now Mary, in her yes, you know, has to face some problems. Whenever we say yes, it's not always easy. There are always problems that we have to face. And Mary had a problem. She was pregnant now, and Joseph was her betrothed. And she had to tell her betrothed about this pregnancy, about an angel coming to her. Now Joseph, it tells us in Matthew's Gospel, wanted to divorce her, put her away, so that no one would find out, because, you know, they would stone a woman who was pregnant. They would stone a woman that was pregnant before marriage. But an angel appeared unto Joseph and said, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, to take your espoused to yourself, for what has been conceived is by the Holy Spirit." So Mary says yes, that she trusts God, that God will do what He needs to do in Joseph. She says, yes. And we just celebrated the feast of St. Joseph. You know what the Bible tells us about Joseph? He was a just man. Doesn't say very much more. But you know, the just man lives by faith. Joseph was a man of God. He lived by faith. He was a just man. For the just man lives by faith. And he took Mary, his espoused wife, to himself. He also says yes. Now the next thing we see is the Virgin of Nazareth goes to Ein Karim, the place where Elizabeth is. She goes to the place where Elizabeth is. You listen to this now, because it's very interesting. And she goes to help Elizabeth. Let's go back to the first chapter of St. Luke, and it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to a virgin of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The sixth month of what? The sixth month of the pregnancy of John the Baptist. That's right. It was the sixth month of the pregnancy of John the Baptist. And she was now leaves Nazareth and goes up toward Jerusalem, because Ein Karim is just a Sabbath day walk from Jerusalem about. And she stays with Elizabeth until Elizabeth gives birth to John the Baptist. Now listen to this. This is very interesting. This is very interesting. She stays 3 months. Isn't that interesting? Why 3 months? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to take you back to when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. I'm going to bring you back to those days. Oh, and he was dancing and praising God. And we remember they had placed the ark on a cart, and it was pulled by oxen, by beasts of burden, an ox, many oxen. And we remember that the ark was starting to buckle. It was starting to move, and there was a man named Uzzah. Remember Uzzah? He touched the ark, and he died. Fell flat dead. Now David is upset. I don't want to bring the ark into Jerusalem. The Lord seems to be troubled. Maybe the priests should have carried the ark. So what does David do? David gets the Ark of the Covenant, and he goes to Ein Karim, to the house of Obed-Edom. Oh, yes. And that Ark of the Covenant stays in Ein Karim at the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. After 3 months, the scripture says that the house of Obed-Edom was blessed. What does that mean? That Mrs. Obed-Edom was going to have a baby. Blessing in the Bible has to do with children, not with winning money at a raffle. In the Bible, to be blessed means to have children around your table like olive branches. So after 3 months, David knows that the Ark of the Covenant can now come into Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? How long does Mary stay in Ein Karim? 3 months. Now listen to this. Who is the Ark of the Covenant? She is the Ark of the Covenant. For within her womb is the eternal Son of the Father. She is the Ark of the Covenant. And the likeness is so very, very clear. 3 months, the Ark of the Covenant stays in Ein Karim, the time of David. 3 months, our Blessed Mother stays with Elizabeth and Zechariah. We'll see the Ark of the Covenant again in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. I don't want to go into that right now. I just want to, if you'd like to look at that at your own, you know. But you need to read the end of 11, chapter 11, and go right into 12 as if it's one writing. It's not, they did not divide these chapters up. The monks did that. So you need to read the end of 11. Oh, I guess I have to do it because, you know what, I don't think you will. I don't think you will, but I want to do it then. I'm going to do the best I can. The book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. Let's see what it says. Oh, I love you, Lord. I'm doing the best I can. Here it is. I'm going to read the end of 11. Listen to what it says. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of the Covenant, and there was lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. Then chapter 12, okay? But people would split that up. I don't want to split it up. I'm going to start it again, and I'm going to read it as if it's one. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of the Covenant, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, as she was being with child and cried in travail in birth, the pain to be delivered. Okay, who is this woman? Well, I'll tell you, this woman is not only Mary, but this woman is the church, and this woman is Jerusalem. She has three titles, really. Yeah, the Ark of the Covenant was seen, and a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and 12 stars around her head. So interesting. So interesting. So we're going to continue now with Mary as a yes woman. So now, after she goes back to Nazareth, there is a decree that's sent from Caesar Augustus that everyone must be enrolled in the census. And so now, Joseph is of the house of David. They have to go to Bethlehem because that's where he comes from to enroll in the census. So Mary says yes. She says yes again. She says yes. And so they're on their way to Bethlehem and to be registered with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child, and the time came for her to be delivered. But there was no room for him, and so they placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And another interesting thing, they placed him in a feeding trough where the animals ate. This is the bread of life. This is the one who would give his word and his body and blood as food. This is a prophetic symbol. They place him in a manger, a feeding trough, where animals eat. He will feed his people until he comes in glory, with his word and with the sacrament. He will feed his people. Mary says yes. And she brings forth the divine Son of God. Now, as we see in Matthew's Gospel, Herod is jealous of the child and looks for the life of the child, so they have to escape to Egypt. But before this happens, they bring the child up to Jerusalem, and Simeon takes the child in his arms and says, "This child is destined for the rise and many, the fall of many in Israel. And a sign of contradiction, a sword shall pierce your soul." This is the destiny of our Blessed Mother. Oh, if you want to know her destiny, that a sword would pierce her soul. Not only that she would give birth to the Son of God, not only that she would nurture Jesus, not only that she would be the mother of our Savior, she would be the mother of Messiah, a sword would pierce her soul. And the thoughts of many would be laid bare, the Scripture says. And it would be a sign of contradiction. Now, I don't think she knows exactly what Simeon's talking about, but she takes all these things and ponders them in her heart. She takes all these words and lets them touch her heart. A sword shall pierce my soul, that the thoughts of many shall be laid bare. Now to Egypt the child goes, and Mary says yes, away from the grips of Herod. And finally they come back to Nazareth. And the child was subject to Joseph and Mary. And on the 12th year of Jesus' birth, they go up to Jerusalem for the Passover. It's something they did every year. Now this child is no longer This child is still a child. He is not bar mitzvah. He has not gone through the adult ritual of the Jews. He's 12 years old. Very interesting. I often wondered, why did Mary and Joseph lose Jesus? I wondered. But you see, I'll tell you why. Because when you're before bar mitzvah, before you become an adult in the Jewish community, before you can read Torah, you can go with either the men or the women. And they traveled in a caravan. They traveled in a caravan. So Joseph thought the child Jesus was with Mary, and Mary thought the child Jesus was with Joseph. And when they had gone three days, they realized that he was gone, and they went back. They went seeking Jesus. Seeking Jesus. And we know the story. They found him in the temple. You know, first of all, Jesus was listening. And Mary's always saying yes. We have to go find Jesus. She's always saying yes. Always saying yes. Oh, she's the yes woman. She's the yes woman. Then under the cross. Under the cross. What does the scripture say about Mary? Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Under the cross, she says yes. And I'm going to tell you this. This is what happened. When they pierced the heart of Jesus with the sword, the scripture says that the same sword that pierced his heart pierced her heart. Simeon. Her destiny was fulfilled, that a sword would pierce her heart, that the thoughts of many would be laid bare. The heart of Jesus was pierced with a lance, and so was the heart of Mary. And under the cross, what can she say but yes? As she wept, as she wept, as she wept, as she wept, as she wept for her only son. But it's not all over. It's not all over. She will continue to say yes. For we know that our Lord Jesus does not stay in the tomb. We know that the glory of God comes upon him. We know that the Holy Spirit comes upon the dead body of Jesus on that slab. We know that he becomes a living spirit. We know that a resurrected body comes about from this seed that was so broken and needy and poor. The glory of God comes upon Jesus, and he becomes the risen Lord. And we know that he appeared and showed himself to his disciples during those days, during those 40 days. And then the scripture says that he led them to the Mount of Olives, and he said to them, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Go into Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. For John baptized you with water, but in several days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is teaching them and preaching to them, and he says, go into the whole world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then he's taken from them. He's taken from them. He's taken from them. And the cloud covers Jesus. This is the glory. This is the cloud of glory, the cloud that led them through the desert. Cloud covers Jesus. And he ascends into heaven. And all the disciples, they have their mouth opened. Where did he go now? Where did he go now? And the angel says, this Jesus whom you've seen taken away from you, he will come back in the same way that you've seen him go. Now the next scene is so beautiful. The yes woman. It says they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. In the synagogue with Mary, the yes woman, when the Holy Spirit came. When the Holy Spirit came, they were together in one accord, one heart, one mind, with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Oh, yes. I can see her saying, let's get off of this mount and let's go back to the place of the Passover. Let's go back to the place where he gave us his body and blood. Let's go back to that place. And the scripture says they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, Mary was there. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, I forgot to tell you, at Cana she said yes also. Do whatever he tells you to. Now let's look at this. This is very important. This is so very important. Because this scripture, I love this scripture. A woman calls out, she sees the mother of Jesus, and she said, this is what she says. Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breast that gave you suck. She's praising Mary. And you know what Jesus says? No, rather, blessed is the person, the man, the woman, who hears the word of God and does it. But let's look at Mary. In Nazareth, she heard the word of God and did it. In Bethlehem, she heard the word of God and did it. When they went to Egypt, she heard the word of God and did it. With Simeon, she heard the word of God, and her heart was pierced under the cross. Under the cross, she heard the word of God and did it. She was there. In the upper room, when the Holy Spirit came, they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. She heard the word of God and did it. Oh, she is the disciple. She is the disciple who hears the word of God, who continues to say yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 no matter what. That's Mary. That's our mother. That's the mother of Jesus. That's my mother. She says yes. She's always yes, never no, just like her son. Always yes, never no. But what about you? You've been disappointed? It's time to say yes again to Jesus. It's time to say yes again to Jesus. People have hurt your feelings in the church. It's time to say yes again to Jesus. You're misunderstood. It's time to say yes again to Jesus. It's time to say yes. You lost your job. Nothing's going right. It's time to say yes to Jesus again. It's time. It's really time to say yes to Jesus. Don't be like Adam and Eve who said no. Be like our mother who said yes, yes, yes. Be like her son who is the yes of the Father, the amen of the Father, that all of our prayers are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Be like Mary. Continue to say yes. Be a good disciple and say yes to Jesus. Don't turn your back on him. Say yes to Jesus. Please say yes to Jesus. Your yes is so important. Your yes is so important. Let me tell you one of the things I really don't like doing, okay? Can I be honest with you? I do not like doing television, okay? I do not like going to the studio. And today I was supposed to go, and I said, no, I can't do it today because I haven't been feeling well. But we have over 500 telecasts, 541 we have. And I do not like going, okay? Not because of anything, but because it's a Friday and it's the last part of the day and I've been preaching all day and I don't want to preach anymore. I'm tired. And whenever I think I'm not ever going to go again to do television, someone comes up to me and they say, I was watching you on television. I got a letter yesterday. I tape you, and then I bring you to my prayer group. In the first part of the prayer group, we watch you and listen to you preach. And I'm saying, oh, dear Jesus. I guess I have to keep on saying yes to doing television. even when I don't want to do it. So I'm not doing it today. But with the help of God, I'll do it next week. Oh, yeah. And this lady's in Connecticut, so they get my broadcast in Connecticut on cable. She says, I tape what you say, and I bring it to the prayer group, and we watch you and listen to you, and then we praise the Lord. That keeps me going, honest, because you know what? If I had my own will to say, you know what? I've done 541 television programs, and you know what? I don't want to do any more. I'm tired. But you see, the Lord's waiting for a yes from me, too. Yes. Yes, I'll do it again, even though I don't like doing it. And again, it's vanity, you know? I'm so big, and everybody sees how big I am on television. But that's life. That's life. Father, we want to say yes to you today in the name of Jesus. Yes, even if we whisper yes, we want to whisper yes. Yes, 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 with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yes, with all the saints that said yes. Yes, with all the martyrs that have said yes. Yes, 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 your will be done on earth in me as it is in heaven. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.